I have never crossed the ocean, except in an airliner at 35,000 feet. And so I have no idea what it feels like to be on a ship thousands of miles from land, over blue water thousands of feet deep. But from the testimony of those who have sailed the seas, that experience stands as an apt metaphor for the human condition in so many ways, not least in the revelation of our powerlessness before the majesty of nature. The book of Genesis tells us that when God made man in his own image and likeness, he gave us dominion over this earth and every living thing on it, and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." But our capacity to subdue the earth is that of a steward, not a master. And so our dominion over nature is never absolute. We too are part of the created order, and the providence of God places restrictions on us as much as on the boundaries of the natural world, such as the laws of physics and mathematics and the operation of elemental forces. But the same restlessness that led our first parents to reject the limits of their nature and thereby fall from God's grace is a constant part of human life, especially when we are reminded of our finitude by tragedy and loss. And just such a reminder came to Job when he lost everything in short order and was reduced from health and prosperity to privation and suffering. And so Job put God in the dock to question him about the whys and wherefores of this universe. Our first lesson today is taken from chapter 38 of the book of Job, in which God, who has listened patiently to Job's questions about the design of his creation, finally gives a reply. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling bands? When I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stilled'?" In other words, the Lord answers the questions of Job with questions of his own, all of which come to this: "Since I, the Lord, made the universe and everything in it, including you, Job, who are you to question me?" Meaning that no mortal can know the mind of God unless that is revealed to him by the Lord. And at the center of this gentle rebuke of his creature Job, God places the sea as the sign of his majesty and power. The sea also filled the psalmist with wonder. "They who sailed the sea in ships, trading on the deep waters, these saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the abyss. His command raised up a storm wind, which tossed its waves on high. They mounted up to heaven. They sank to the depths. Their hearts melted away in their plight." I imagine that the fishermen of Galilee knew this text, Psalm 107, by heart, and could sing it both to praise God and to find comfort when they were tossed in their boats by the waves of a sudden tempest. Even the strongest and bravest men are no match for the power of the sea and the ferocious might of a storm. And experienced sailors know when they are truly in peril. And that is precisely what happened one evening as Jesus and the 12 were crossing the Sea of Galilee. Mark tells us that a violent squall came up and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Let's linger with these words a moment. At least four of these men had lived by the Sea of Galilee all their lives, and they earned their living on the water, catching fish. They would have known the risks of a sudden storm intimately, and they had probably seen friends and colleagues die in just these circumstances. The storm was sudden and violent and whipped the usually tranquil Sea of Galilee into roiling white-capped waves capable of sinking their boat. In the midst of this pounding deluge, the little boat was already taking on water, but the Lord Jesus was still sound asleep. I love this detail. He is, after all, a man like us in all things but sin. And so at the end of a long day, he was worn out and fell asleep on their journey. But he could also remain calm in the storm because he is not simply the Son of Mary. He is also God the Son, the designer and maker of all things. So the dangers of this storm did not alarm the Nazarene rabbi, and he was able to remain peacefully asleep through the gale. Once roused from his rest, however, the Lord Jesus then revealed his divine glory by his absolute mastery over nature. Quiet, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. What Job learned from the Lord, and what the psalmist celebrated in verse, was then confirmed for the 12 by the command of Christ. God alone has complete dominion over the created world, and the Lord Jesus is God made man. Listen again to Psalm 107. They cried to the Lord in their distress. From their straits he rescued them. He hushed the storm to a gentle breeze, and the billows of the sea were still. But at this point in Mark's gospel, still early in the public ministry of Christ, the 12 could not yet grasp the full implications of what they had just witnessed. Jesus asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" Mark tells us that after seeing this sign, the 12 were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" Friends, Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, the eternal and omnipotent Word of the Father, by whom and for whom all things were made. When we live in Christ by grace through faith, then no tempest in our lives can finally harm us or separate us from Him. And even when we die, we are alive in Christ and destined to share His divine glory by the grace of adoption unto everlasting life. And that is why St. Paul could write to the Corinthians that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Being a new creation in Christ means that we live no longer for ourselves, but for Him who for our sake died and was raised. And the love of Christ then impels us to share this gospel with others. The gospel teaches us that whatever storms we must endure in our lives, Christ is in control, even if He seems to be sleeping. Despite the dangers and uncertainties of life, this universe is not an accident. The cosmos is not random, and our existence is not without meaning or purpose, even when we suffer. There is an eternal moral law, and we can know it. Each of us is brought into being for a reason as an individual person, known and loved by God. There is a divine plan in and for the world, and that plan has been finally and fully revealed to the entire human race by the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.